Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahmanir rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
الحمد لله على كل حال الحمد لله على كل حال الحمد لله على كل حال
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
American Muslim 360 is We will never quit. America Muslim 360, your number one.
Yeah. Oh, oh. Yeah, yeah. Oh, oh, man. Ah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, oh. No. Listen. Shine bright in the sky. Who made the moon appear in the night? Who made the stars like a twinkling of an eye? Who made these things for us to rotate to the right? Allah, oh Allah,
Allah,
Almighty.
Allah.
See, we're talking about Allah.
Allah, Allah.
Whoa.
Allah.
Hadith number 29.
عن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله أخبرني بعمل يدخلني الجنة ويباعدني عن النار. قال لقد سألت عن عظيم، وإنه ليسير على من يسره الله تعالى عليه، تعبد الله لا تشرك به شيئا، وتقيم الصلاة، وتؤتي الزكاة، وتصوم رمضان، وتحج البيت. ثم قال ألا أدلك على أبواب الخير؟ الصوم جنة، والصدقة تطفئ الخطيئة كما يطفئ الماء النار، وصلاة الرجل في جوف الليل. ثم تلا تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع حتى بلغ يعملون. ثم قال ألا أخبرك برأس الأمر وعموده وذروة سنامه؟ قلت بلى يا رسول الله. قال رأس الأمر الإسلام، وعموده الصلاة، وذروة سنامه الجهاد. ثم قال ألا أخبرك بملاك ذلك كله؟ فقلت بلى يا رسول الله. فأخذ بلسانه وقال كف عليك هذا. قلت يا نبي الله، وإنا لمؤاخذون بما نتكلم به. فقال ثكلتك أمك، وهل يكب الناس في النار على وجوههم أو قال على مناخرهم إلا حصائد ألسنتهم؟ رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح.
On the authority of Mu'adh ibn Jabal رضي الله عنه, who said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, inform me of a deed which will take me into paradise and keep me away from the fire. He said, You have asked me about a tremendous matter, but indeed it is easy for one for whom Allah the Exalted makes it easy. You should worship Allah, associating nothing with Him, establish prayer, fast the month of Ramadan, and make the pilgrimage to the house. Then he said, Shall I not point out to you the gates of goodness? Fasting is a shield. Charity extinguishes sin as water extinguishes fire. And so does the prayer of a man in the middle of the night. Then he recited, They forsake their beds, invoking their Lord in fear and hope, and spend of that we have provided them. And no soul knows what has been hidden for them of satisfaction as a reward for what they used to do. Then he said, Shall I not inform you of the head of the matter, its pillar, and the peak of its elevation? I said, Yes, O Messenger of Allah. He said, The head of the matter is Islam, its pillar is prayer, and the peak of its elevation is jihad. Then he said, Shall I not inform you of the foundation of all that? I said, Yes, O Messenger of Allah. So he took hold of his tongue and said, Restrain this. I said, O Prophet of Allah, will we be blamed for what we talk about? He said, May your mother be bereaved of you, O Mu'adh. Does anything topple people into the fire on their faces, or, he said, on their noses, except the harvests of their tongues? Narrated by Tirmidhi, who said it was Hasan Sahih. Notes about the hadith. The house mentioned in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and makes the pilgrimage to the house refers to the Kaaba in Mecca. And the verses mentioned, they forsake their beds, invoking their Lord in fear and hope, and spend of what we have provided them, and no soul knows what has been hidden for them of satisfaction as a reward for what they used to do, are the 16th and 17th verses of Surah As-Sajdah, the Quran's 32nd chapter.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I'm Imam Nadeem Suleiman Ali and welcoming you to this edition of Muslim Vibe. We'll be most likely rolling solo today. Our brother Mansour has a presentation that he has to give up near Lake Menir. And then also I'll have to leave out early as well to participate in the Western area. For those of you who are in the Atlanta area from 2 until 6, right around the corner from our mosque, there'll be closing off the streets with a program that they're calling Atlanta Streets Alive. And so they've asked me to come and do a demonstration of Tai Chi. I've been doing that since about 1982, and it's given me great benefits personally on the wellness level. And we teach a class at our Islamic Center each week. And most of the participants in the class are non-Muslims. And, in fact, one of my students is about 80 years old. So for those of you around the country and around the world, I would encourage you to utilize some of the wellness exercises such as Tai Chi or Qigong or yoga. And again, although many of them have some aspect of shirk associated with them, and a lot of that is because a lot of the teachings took place in monasteries. And so what we have to do is, as Dr. Ismail Faruqi, one of my earlier mentors many years ago, used to say that we have to Islamicize the sciences. And he was one of the earlier progenitors of that whole concept of taking the information that's already here and getting rid of the shirk that's associated with it. So that's important that we do these types of things here in this part of the world. So, you know, he took the social science, the psychological sciences, and he was able to do that type of work. And so if you would like to communicate with me as long as I'm here, you can call in at 646-716-4478. That's 646-716-4478. If you have a question or comment, I know this is the Christian holiday of Easter, and in many instances, a lot of the holidays, specifically Christmas and Easter, are trying times for Muslims in the West because, again, there's so much information about the Prophet Isa, peace be upon him, and we see it as information that's not consistent with what the Quran says, as Allah says that they say that they killed Jesus, son of Mary, but they killed him not. He was only made to appear as such. And so what we have to do is use this as an opportunity to give dawah, and many of our brothers and sisters will be giving much dawah today. My brother was telling me the other day, he was talking to a person and said, hey, do rabbits lay eggs? And again, many people don't think about the associations of the symbolism of many of the different holidays. In Islam, we're taught to really try to find the dalil or the religious proofs for certain things, because there are things that we may do that may be inconsistent with what the Prophet teaches us and what the Quran teaches us. So it's important that we know our religion. And for all of us, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, seek knowledge from the cradle unto the grave, even if you have to go to China. And so no matter what stage of Islam we feel as though we're in, we don't retire from this. We should always be in some type of class, whether we're improving our Arabic, whether we are learning more surahs, whether we are studying with a knowledgeable person on different aspects of this deen. So until they put that shroud on us, until they put that dirt over us, we should always be in some state of study. And Allah has made it so easy today with the Internet. You have the Sunni Path, you have the Maghrib Institute, you have scholars all over the world who will beam into your house through the Internet. And so there's no excuse when we stand before Allah on the Day of Judgment and say, I don't know. He said, well, you had that book on your shelf. You had the computer that, you know, you played, Word with Friends or whatever games that are being played today. And again, nothing wrong with playing the games, but again, as Imam Jinnur used to tell us, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't play all day and he didn't pray all day. You know, he inhaled and exhaled this deen. And so my point is that we should always be in some level of study, weekly classes, daily Quran reading, just improving ourselves. Because, again, we don't live in a majority Muslim society where Islam is all around you. So we have to really work to not only attain this deen, but maintain this deen and sustain this deen in this part of the world, because there have been many expressions of Islam in the West over the past few centuries. You know, again, we look at slavery, the slaves that were bought over. We look at the early vestiges of Muslims trying to practice this deen, and people would just sort of assimilate into the society, and the deen goes away. I remember Itna did a study many years ago when they took a highway, I forgot the route, near Las Vegas, and they were talking about all of the different masajids that were on this particular highway that are now in banks and office buildings or homes that people who, again, they would intermarry, and the kids wouldn't be raised as Muslim, and before they know it, their grandkids are not practicing any aspects of Islam. And so we don't want that. We want our grandchildren to be practicing this deen and taking it even further, standing on our shoulders and going over top of the railing, over top of the fence. That's where we're at. What does Easter mean to Muslims? A question I'd like to put out to our audience today. If you'd like to comment or chime in on this particular topic, 646-716-4478. And those of you who are already in queue, just press 1, and I'll bring you up. Around about 1:30, I will be playing some vintage Imam Jamil kutbas, I think we'll have maybe 2 and possibly get 3 in. So we'll be doing that around about 1:30. So we'll only be talking for the next 13 minutes or so. So if you'd like to call with a question or comment and, you know, what this time of year does for you, I know, it's a very special holiday for our Christian brothers and sisters, but, you know, we have to also give the dawah, you know, and again, once a person knows, then they're responsible for that information. We have to get this dawah. Okay, so again, 646-716-4478 is the number. And, you know, we're with you again until about 2:30 or so. And then after that, what we'll do is, you know, we'll be coming back your way next week, both Brother Mansour and myself. But again, I have to cut out because of commitment. My Brother Mansour is busy with the commitment as well. And so, you know, what I'm going to do, again, around about 1:30, for those who just tuned in, going to play some vintage kutbas from Imam Jamil recorded at the Community Masjid right here in the West End of Atlanta, the historic West End of Atlanta. And, again, those of you in queue, let's hear it. What are your memories or what are your experiences with many of your Christian relatives, friends during this time of year and how it impacts you to turn on the television, all of the movies, basically giving a version of the Prophet Isa, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again, that's not consistent with what Allah said, you know, because in Islam we don't believe that the Prophet Isa was killed. You know, so we have to, you know, basically, you know, put the truth out as we see it. And again, at this time of year, many people, and again, those of you who were raised Christian, those of us who were raised in Christian, we knew this time of year it was the time to really show out. You know, it's sort of like an Eid for the Christian community. So, again, these are some of the things that we have to look at in being Muslims in a majority non-Muslim society. So, you know, so these are some of the things I wanted to point out. 646 and 716-4478. I'm Imam Nadeem Suleiman Ali. And, again, you know, there's just a lot of work that we all have to do in promoting this deen of Islam. And if we don't do it, who will? And as they say, what happens is that if we don't do the work, and specifically if we don't do the work with our family, then what happens is the process of assimilation begins, and then your children become less inclined towards this deen, and then their children don't know anything about this deen. I'm sure you walked up on somebody, and their name was Khalid or Aisha, or you know, even to the point of Muhammad. And again, they may not know anything about Islam. And it's the result of us taking a more of a lackadaisical attitude towards implementation of the deen, because what tends to happen, we think our children will get it by osmosis. And there's so many different opportunities for us to learn the religion. Even when you look at the different universities that are online that offer degrees, we're always talking about the institute that Dr. Bilal Phillips put together, the Islamic Online University that's based out of Qatar. And he offers certificate programs. He offers degree programs. He offers different types of programs so that, you know, people can, again, get a basic understanding of the religion of Islam. So, you know, this is what we have to start looking at, is ways of growing culturally and, as Tijani Conscious says, being a conscious army.
Conscious army. Soldiers, salute! Oh, hey, Assalamu alaikum, sis. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam. Alhamdulillah, I'm good.
Good. And how's your husband?
Alhamdulillah, he's doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good, sis. I'm just working two jobs right now trying to save up some money so I can go study at one of these Islamic universities.
MashaAllah. Well, it's interesting you say that. My husband and I just started the Islamic Online University.
What's that about?
Well, the Islamic Online University was developed by Dr. Bilal Phillips. It's completely online. It's intensive. He offers undergraduate and graduate courses of Islamic studies, and it's completely tuition-free.
Whoa, you said tuition-free?
Tuition-free.
In 2007, Islamic Online University began offering diploma courses. In 2010, the Islamic Online University launched the world's first tuition-free online Bachelor of Arts in Islamic Studies. This path-breaking initiative utilizes the worldwide presence of the Internet and advanced open-source online learning technology to bring low-cost, university-level Islamic education within reach of anyone on the planet who has access to a computer. Please do not waste this opportunity. Go to www.islamiconlineuniversity.com or you may also contact the registrar's office at 974-448-684-58. 974-448-684-58.
Indeed. And that's, again, just one example of where we can attain knowledge, the Islamic Online University. They have degree programs as well as certificate programs. So, again, there's no excuse. And, again, we heard from Tijani Conscious talking about the Conscious Army, and he's part of a new generation of musicians taking the reggae sound and applying that Dawah message to it in the spirit of our brother Jimmy Cliff, one of the first Muslims of prominence out of Jamaica. And so, you know, again, we have people who are using the medium of hip-hop, jazz, spoken word, artistic talents such as just artwork. And so you have Muslims in the West on all spheres just trying to promote this deen. And so we have to do our part, and we have to search inside, what have we done for Islam today? You know, what, you know, do we go, as I say, do we do the part-time Muslim thing? Do we not wear what would be taken as garb that's associated with Muslims? And if we're not doing that, is our behavior consistent as Muslims? So that people will ask you, you know, what's going on in your life that you don't drink, that you don't smoke, that you don't do these things. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to wear garb that's associated with Muslims, but you have to have that garb on your heart. That's important. I remember seeing a brother, and you know, I looked at him, and he was just in his work uniform. And I gave him salams. He asked, well, how did you know I was Muslim? And I told him, you know, I saw the Noor in your face. I thought this was a prayerful person. And it just sort of caught him off guard, that, because he was not trying to be Muslim. And I had another incident. I was on the elevator going up to my office one day, and so there was a young lady on the elevator, and then she just said, assalamu alaikum. And she was a sister from the Maghrib who had come over here and assimilated, and was basically, you know, not obviously Muslim, because she wasn't covered, didn't have a scarf on, but she knew I was Muslim. And so, but something in her heart said, you know, I'm supposed to give salams, because this brother don't know who I am. But the Noor was diminishing from her. But she still had enough Noor in her heart to recognize that she should give salams. And so, again, we don't want our children to have these types of challenges. So we want to be about establishing the necessary institutions, establishing the you know, colleges, the masajids. I mean, we have plenty of masajids around the country, but we need schools, we need nursing homes, we need hospitals, we need housing development. So our multi-millionaire, billionaire, trillionaire, gazillionaire Muslims, you know, let's you know, you have to start leaving a legacy that, you know, people will benefit from even long after you're gone. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, that when we engage in types of sadaqah that's continuously giving, we continue to get the benefits even in the grave. So, again, we have to start to establish the necessary institutions. And that was one of the main themes of my imam, Imam Jamil Abdullah Al-Amin, the wrongfully incarcerated Imam Jamil Abdullah Al-Amin, who is presently in the Supermax prison in Florence, Colorado. And so what we would like to do is, in the rest of the show, we're going to attempt to play some of his khutbahs that I have archived. And the first one is called The Purity of Faith. And again, during this time, we need constant reminders when we're getting reminders of other faiths. Passover, as well as Easter, and so not to negate or disrespect the people of the book and their choice of being. But again, it does weigh heavy on us when we see these messages propagated in the mass media, the newscast, giving greetings to people who are celebrating the major holidays in this country. But during Ramadan, we don't get that same type of parity. So it's important that we have to insist upon this. And so this is where you know, where we have to come in and write the letters and send and talk people about our deen. So we're going to start off again with one of the khutbahs. This was probably recorded in the early 1990s, and it's called The Purity of Faith. No, this was recorded, in fact, of 1989, and it should go into another khutbah. So we have about two or three lined up, so just be patient with us as we adjust the volumes. And until next week, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له من يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله السلام بالحق بشيرا بعينا يهدي أساء من يطع الله تعالى ورسوله فقد رشاد ومن يطع الله ورسوله فإنه لا يهدر لا يهدر إلا نفسه ولا يدر الله تعالى شيئا. All praise is due to Allah. We seek His help and ask His forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves. Whomever Allah guides, no one can lead him astray, and whomever He leaves astray, no one can guide him. I bear witness that there is no deity but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and messenger. He sent him with the truth, sent him as the bearer of good news in the face of the coming hour of judgment. Whoever obeys Almighty Allah and His messenger is on the right path, and whoever disobeys Allah and His messenger, he harms only himself, and Allah will not be hurt in the least. Seek refuge in Allah from misleading and from being misled, from betraying and being betrayed into ignorance by others. I ask Allah to guide my heart and to guide my tongue. Amma ba'd. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Allahu samad. لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. Ikhlas, purity of faith. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, say He is Allah, the one and only. Allah, the eternal absolute. He begetteth not, nor is He begotten, and there is none like unto Him. Again. Say, He is Allah, the one and only, Allah the eternal absolute. He begetteth not, nor is He begotten, and there is none like unto Him. This particular surah, which is four ayahs, is the embodiment of the religion, of the deen. It is what Tawheed, or the oneness of the code of belief, is all about, the code of monotheism, in which Allah has defined Himself. And in defining Himself, Allah has set the limits. So therefore, we will, in explaining or speaking of Allah, or understanding what Allah has commanded upon us, that we will frame it by the definition in which Allah has given concerning Himself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the authority of Abu Dhar al-Ghifari, may Allah be pleased with him, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said that it is among the things he related from his Lord, meaning Qutb Hadith, in that he has said, O my servants, I have forbidden oppression for myself and have made it forbidden amongst you, so do not oppress one another. O my servants, all of you are astray except for those I have guided. So seek guidance of me, and I shall guide you. O my servants, all of you are hungry except for those I have fed. So seek food of me, and I shall feed you. O my servants, all of you are naked except for those I have clothed. So seek clothing of me, and I shall clothe you. O my servants, you sin by night and by day, and I forgive all sins. So seek forgiveness of me, and I shall forgive you. O my servants, you will not attain to harming me so as to harm me, and you will not attain benefiting me so as to benefit me. O my servants, were the first of you and the last of you, the human of you and the jinn of you, to be as pious as the most pious heart of any one man of you, that will not increase my kingdom in anything. O my servants, were the first of you and the last of you, the human of you and the jinn of you, to be as wicked as the most wicked heart of any one man of you, that will not decrease my kingdom in anything. O my servants, were the first of you and the last of you, the human of you and the jinn of you, to raise up in one place to make a request of me, and I were to give everyone what he requested, that will not decrease what I have, any more than a needle decreases the sea if put into it. O my servants, it is but your deeds that I reckon up for you, and then recompense you for. So let him who finds good praise Allah, and let him who finds other than that blame no one but himself. Again, it is hadith, and it is Qudsi hadith, meaning that this was given directly to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in doing so, Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again has shown the dependency of all things upon Allah, the dependency upon man to his Lord, in that Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is self-sufficient and in need of no thing from his creation, in need of nothing from his creation. In fact, Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam points out again, as in the surah to Ikhlas, of the purity, that he is independent and alone, and all things depend upon him. And it is with this frame of mind that the submission that Allah commands of us, upon us, the submission, that which makes you Muslim, that which makes you surrender, the whole sense of being Muslim, to surrender to Allah based upon Allah's authority, based upon that Allah from Allah has made clear to us his authority, and that we are a part of his creation. It is through Allah and the definitions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that we even understand the victory in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assured those of us who follow and hold firmly to what Allah has given us. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and it is the surah An-Nas, our help. When comes the help of Allah and the victory, and thou dost see the people into Allah's religion in crowds, celebrate the praises of thy Lord and pray for his forgiveness, for he is oft returning in grace and mercy. So even in the sense of being successful or succeeding, Allah has given us those things that will determine on the way in which success is defined. Individually, Allah says success is being able to reach a level of purification whereby one salvages his soul, where the soul becomes grateful to Allah in this life, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased with the soul on its return, because in the practice that Allah has given us, it practices and implements those things that deals with the purification of the soul. In the external general sense of victory. It is in the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that victory is that when you see the people begin to enter into the deen in mass, in crowds, when they turn to Allah in crowds, meaning that you have fulfilled the obligations of the task that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon you. Again, this is illustrated in the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after this surah was revealed to him, which was one of the last surahs. It is said that it is the last surah that was revealed in its entirety to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which came either in the precincts of Mecca after the farewell pilgrimage, or on his return from the farewell pilgrimage, in which he again spoke of the success in which Allah from the law had the victory, when coming to the help of Allah and the victory. And you see the people enter into the deen of Allah, when they turn to Allah in mass. The hadith relates upon hearing this, Abu Bakr Sadiq, the closest companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, began to weep upon hearing this revelation. To which Umar ibn Khattab asked him, O Abu Bakr, why do you weep? He says that Allah, through his prophet, has fulfilled the obligation of his prophet and he will not be with us long. In other words, he saw in terms of the fact that Allah, the mission of the prophet had been completed. Because he had established a standard. He had established the help of Allah, and so therefore the victory in which Allah spoke of was the fact that people had begun to turn to the Islam and begin to accept the Islam in mass. Because they had perceived and understood the help. So in doing so, he understood that the Prophet would die shortly from that. And it is said within a matter of the month after this revelation that Allah took the soul of Rasulullah. Because again, the victory did not lie within the fighting. The fighting was only a means. It was a force of help. It was a source of help in that it began to develop the soul. It developed the spirit where it became conscious of the taqwa. It became Allah consciousness. It became Allah conscious in the sense of tawheed, of the oneness of Allah. So therefore, the whole concept of sacrificing one's life for Allah and the blood of the martyr became a means by which one could attain success, attain paradise. And it is on the basis of this that when Abu Bakr heard the revelation that he understood, again, that Allah will cause the Prophet to die. Because he had fulfilled the mission of the obligation of bringing the message to the people. And when bringing the message to the people, Allah began to stir the hearts of the people and stir their spirits. So therefore they recognized the truth. For Allah had implanted within the soul, in every human that comes here, the ability to deal with or to understand oneness, the oneness of Allah. The concept of the Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. So again, even in the sense of being victorious. Again, on the individual basis, it deals with trying to perfect or trying to reach a level where the heart is clean. Trying to reach a level where the heart is clean, so therefore it can perceive the victory when Allah sends it. Because many times Allah gives us the manifest proof, but we are blinded from it, we are veiled from it, because we don't reach a level where the heart has been purified. We're much like what Allah says, the situation or the condition of the jinn during the time of Suleiman or Solomon. In that Allah had caused the jinn to work for Solomon. And they were at work and they were occupied in different kinds of labor for Solomon. And upon his death, they continued to work because they could not perceive his death. They could not perceive the reality. And they only realized that when Allah allowed a lowly creature from the earth to eat away at his staff, that's when the reality that Solomon had died came to the jinn. Many of us are the same in terms of that which Allah has conferred upon us as success or victory. We still view Islam as it is something that is without aid or support. When the greatest aid and support is Allah.
We view Islam as it is secondary or inferior to the whole secular life. We view the authority of Allah as being secondary to the authority of man, of the state. And so therefore that becomes our posture, that becomes our mental perspective. And in becoming that, it screens us from the reality that Allah has moved us from one level, has moved the deen, has moved the practice from one level to another level. And it keeps us from being aggressive with the Islam. It keeps us from being what we should be Islamically. So therefore we become shamed about the Islam, and we try to screen our Islam and hide it and conceal it, to camouflage our Islam. And we do so by accepting the things that we are familiar with, following the footsteps of our fathers. We say, well, we can practice and be practicing Muslims without being identifiable as Muslims. We don't have to dress like Muslims. We can be successful as Muslims without having to pray five times a day in congregation. They couldn't pray at home. So we began to go against all of the edicts, all of the rules that were established for the Prophet to be successful. So no victory can be realized. At least no victory will be perceived by those people who practice in that manner. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when comes the help of Allah and the victory, and one sees the people beginning to enter into the religion in mass, what is the reality of the situation now? By the statistics that they give us, the accounts that they reveal, they say Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. It says within this country, within the next 10 years, it will be the second largest religion in this country. When you see people coming to the deen in mass, it is the manifestation of the victory of Allah without fighting, without giving, having to fight, without life or death, the sacrifice of life and death as to what we might know in war. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still accomplishes his plan. He brings about the victory. When you see people coming to the deen in mass, then it is symbolic of the victory in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred upon you. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs you, even when you see this, when you see and you are able to perceive that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred victory for his way of life, has conferred victory on the basis of the practice of Islam, of the establishment of Islam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further commands, celebrate the praises of Allah, of thy Lord, and pray for his forgiveness, for he is all returning in grace and mercy. So even in the sense that we perceive that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us successful, there's no relaxation of practice. There's no relaxation of practice. We still have to, on the basis of to pray to Allah, and to seek the tawbah, the forgiveness, to always constantly turn to Allah. For which there is commission of error, of sin, knowingly and unknowingly. Because we are human. The frailties of man are such that we make the mistakes. But again, the definition of success is that which was used, of which the example is used concerning Adam, as opposed to Iblis. In making the mistake or the error, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Adam turned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conferred upon him his mercy, and Adam turned to Allah. Whereas Iblis, a shaitan, he asked for respite. When he found himself in error, he continued in a straight manner. Such is the case with Pharaoh. When Moses came to Pharaoh, Pharaoh refused to turn. And he kept in a straight manner until his death, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the angel, seized his soul. So again, the examples that Allah gives us to make us understand victory and success, to make us comprehend what is the help of Allah, is embodied within the practice itself. If there is no prayer, then there is no sense of reality. There is no sense of submission to Allah. Because again, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is prayer that distinguishes belief from unbelief. He pointed out that everything on earth will rust. And the companions asked him, would the heart rust? He said, yes. He said, no, that the heart will rust, but the tonic that removes rust from the heart is prayer. It is to make the prayer. It is to make the salah. He says, if a man were to bathe himself in a stream five times a day, how much dirt would be left? They say, a little of no consequence. He said, that is likened unto prayer. Again, the whole sense of the practice of prayer. It begins to make us understand and it begins to purify the heart, so therefore Allah changes the conditions that we may be in. And what we thought was of conditions,
experiencing some technical difficulties, and as soon as we're able to resolve them, we will bring the imam back up. Again, you're listening to Imam Jamil Abdullah Al-Amin, formerly known as H.R.F. Brown, and the name of this particular khutbah was The Purity of Faith, and talking about the importance of having a pristine understanding of our deen, a really good understanding of Islam. And in order to do that, we have to basically strive to be the best Muslims that we could possibly be. You know, again, these are some of the things that, the points that we always have to be reminded of, you know, as Muslims. Because as Muslims, we continue to struggle in this part of the world. We struggle to maintain, to attain, first of all, and also maintain this deen of Islam. And if you're listening, we do hope you appreciate the efforts of bringing Imam Jamil to us. As we stated earlier, he has been wrongfully incarcerated in the Supermax. Even though he was convicted of a state penalty, he has been placed in a federal prison, and even to the point of not just a typical federal prison, but he's been placed in the most secure federal prison on the planet, the Supermax. And one warden called it a cleaner version of hell. And so that was the warden of that particular facility making the comment or the observation about what the Supermax is, and so a cleaner version of hell. And so, you know, we shouldn't, you know, really protest, you know, not just for the imam, but many of the people who we know, Dr. Mutulu Shakur. There are also many people in the Supermax who should be free. It's a form of torture. You're talking about being incarcerated 23 hours a day, 1 hour for exercise, showering, and other incidentals, just 1 hour. Family visits are limited, you know, to you know, just a couple of times a year. Phone calls are very limited, you know, so it's really an effort to break people, and people who have been in opposition to many of the policies of this country, and again, from day one, from the civil rights era to the issues of you know, invading countries for the for profit, for oil. And so it's just a lot of things that, you know, a lot of work that has to be done by the Muslim community. It's important, the Muslim community and the conscious community as well. You know, these are some of the things that we have to look at, that in working on developing the infrastructure that's necessary for change to occur. You know, we're not just a religion, we are a way of life, and as having a way of life, you know, we have to, you know, basically, you know, be Muslim 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and not just be, as I used to say, part-time Muslim. You know, again, you're in tune to Muslim Vibe, Imam Nadeem Suleiman Ali with you. And next week, both myself and Brother Mansour, inshallah, will be here. And again, we wanted to share this this time with you by giving you the one of the khutbahs from Imam Jamil Abdullah Al-Amin. It was recorded in 1989. And the title of this particular khutbah was The Purity of Faith, in that as Muslims who adhere to the concept of Tawheed, and Tawheed just, you know, literally means the oneness of Allah, that there is nothing in existence to be worshipped except Allah. And again, Tawheed is the message that all of the prophets have brought. Tawheed is the message that every prophet has brought. And so this is what we want to continue to impress upon people, the importance of sharing this information about the the purity of faith and the importance of how, you know, when you start to distort the teachings of the prophets, then what happens is that, you know, people tend to make up their own way. And so we want to avoid that. So we're going to try to continue with this particular kubar from Imam Jamil Abdul Al-Amin, The Purity of Faith.
Oneself until when the soul returns, it is pleased with Allah, and Allah is pleased with it. Zakat or charity. How many of us in the course of the week really think, or does the thought even cross our mind that what Allah has blessed us with, has given us with, there is a share in this for those poor people, for the poor people. There is a share in this. Because what does this do? Again, it makes real to you the whole sense of wanting for your brother what you want for yourself. How many times do we pass up the sadaqah box, or we pass up someone who may be in need, and we go right to the store and we buy something that will be harmful to us? We go buy a pack of cigarettes. Or we go to a movie and we look at things, again, that incite the passions, that distorts the sense of reality, that makes us think that victory lies within Hollywood, or victory is going to Disney World. Play into the hands of the sorcerers, as opposed to doing something that really brings about the victory, and that is to want for your brother what you want for yourself. To be concerned about, you know, if Allah Ta'ala allows me to have something, then it should be shared. To really begin, there has to be a heartfelt thing. It can't just be the day after Juma, just because you heard me say that. That's beneficial too. But it has to be a thing that emanates from within you to be able to reach a level where this thing becomes real in you. It deals with how well you practice prayer, fasting, the sense of giving, the sense of being concerned. Because in the sense of sadaqah and zakat, what lies within that is the whole sense, again, of the ummah, of the community, the concern of the community, the welfare of the community. And being concerned about the community means that we are indeed concerned about humanity. But until we reach that level of concern whereby we consciously make an effort. So what we know, let me go and put this in the sadaqah box. If for no other reason, then I use the electricity, I use the water to make wudu. I'm sure that these things are not free. Somebody has to pay these things. And if I'm not paying them, then who is paying them? How are these things paid for? To be conscious of these things. To have a place that is comfortable for your family to come. How is this taken care of? Until these things become real to us, then the victory of Allah will not become manifest. We will not see in terms of the victory that Allah has given to us, the victory that Allah speaks of. When comes the help of Allah and the victory, and you see men entering through the religion in mass, in crowds, we'll still think in the sense that, you know, Islam is not winning, it's losing, which is not the case. Everything makes it manifestly clear that Allah is having his way. Allah is having his way. And there's nothing that they can do about it. Allah sends upon them trial after trial after trial. And unless you are aware in terms of the sense that Allah has indeed tried these people and are trying these people and will try us as well. For Allah says, and Allah's wrath does not just visit the wrongdoers. We always pretend as if we are so concerned about things way in the distance, so therefore we ignore the things that are close to us. We're concerned about reaching the top of the stairs, but we ignore each step that has to be taken to reach to the top of the stairs. All of these
these things are important in terms of even being able to be successful to reach that height. Fasting. In the course of the week, fast. He would do it on Mondays and Thursdays. It was a consistent practice of his. And he was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the prophet. His deficiencies were, you know, Rasulullah gave him means to compensate for whatever deficiencies that he had as a human. His jinn worked for him. His jinn was in line, you know, with what was right. Again, it is not that we don't have the tools that are necessary to be successful in the struggle. It's that we, just like a man who has tools, who has a hammer and nail, and his dough is falling down. And he sits there, and he allows all of the elements and the weather to come up into his house, and he sits there, and the hammer and nail is right there next to him. And he has the knowledge that all he has to do is go there and nail this thing back up, and that will block the elements from coming out. But he refuses to do so because he's engaged with being lazy. He's too occupied with being lazy. So again, it is the same sense in terms of the tools that Allah gives to us. Unless we stop being lazy about this Islam, unless we put forth an effort to practice the Islam in a means by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with us, then the wrath that visits the wrongdoers will also vanquish us. It will overwhelm us. All of these things that Allah subhanahu has given us, the pillars of Islam, prayer, the fasting, the zakat, the charity, the hajj, the pilgrimage, in which Allah subhanahu allows us to visit the house in which Allah has erected for the first house of worship erected for mankind, in which Allah shows us a manifestation of how humanity comes together on the basis of belief. All of these things are a confirmation of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. All of these things are a confirmation of Kalima, the declaration of faith, which is the first pillar. The belief that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his message. So again, when we become serious about being able to realize the victory and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent, when we become real and serious about that, then we begin to, it is reflected in our practice. So we make fajr, not once a week, and congregational fajr. Not talking about getting up and getting next to your bed and making prayer next to your bed as men and thinking that this is what is required. No, for the men, what is required is that you come to the mosque. That you come to the mosque. Distance is no excuse. The prophet said the blessing, the greater blessing lies within the distance that you have to travel. So much so that the companions who live close to the mosque used to begin to shorten their steps so it would be counted down as having traveled a greater distance. The women, the sisters, have to begin to arouse you from your sleep if you sleep too heavy, and remind you that your responsibility is to go to the mosque. Go and make prayer. Go make your fajr. Make your isha. And then come home, and if it is necessary to make preparations for fajr, that after isha you go to sleep, then you are consistent with what the prophet used to do. He would go to sleep after he would make isha. And you learn how to back up away from those things that keep you away from the remembrance of Allah. We ask Allah to confer upon us a look that is merciful, a knowledge that is useful, a heart that is enlightened, a tongue that is truthful, an intellect that is unerring, a countenance that is pleasing to Allah. And may Allah give us success in this life, and the year after, may He raise us in the company of the righteous. On the authority of Abu Ruqayya Tamim ibn al-Dari, may Allah be pleased with him. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, religion is sincerity. We said to whom? He said to Allah and His book and His messenger and to the leaders of the Muslims and their common folk. Again, religion is sincerity. This way of life is built upon sincerity. Sincerity to Allah and His book. Sincerity to the messenger. And sincerity to the leaders amongst Muslims and sincerity to oneself. again, to be sincere, to be serious, to make an effort, a dedicated effort, to be conscious, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an intellect, and to pray to Allah that Allah keeps from our intellect error, an intellect that is unerring. Because on the basis of this, then we understand the necessity to develop the heart and to allow the heart to have that rule in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has deemed that it ruled in terms of even the intellect itself. It should be ruled by a clean heart. We have to begin to be serious and recognize in terms of the time in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to live. It ain't no time to be slow. This ain't no time to be slow. Now is the time to be tough. This is the hour to be rough. For all the things that we have said in the course of our lives that we were about, the best thing, the best proclamation that we have made is that we are Muslim. The best proclamation. Because again, it deals with our success in this life and in the hereafter. So therefore, the sincerity that is necessary again comes through the practice itself, being able to practice. And again, the practice is simple. It just requires work. It requires us not to be lazy about it. It requires us to get up in the morning, even with more sincerity than we get up to go to work. To get up, to jump out of the bed, to make the wudu, and to find the mosque, to go to the mosque and make a congregational salat. If you live closer to another mosque, then go there. If they're not establishing the salat, then speak to them. Tell them, say, look, I'm coming over here to make the fajr, man. Y'all got to do something. Y'all got to open the door. Y'all got to have somebody out here to make the fajr. Because again, as people become more and more people come into the Islam, then your responsibility becomes greater and greater, because indeed you are the vanguard. You're the people who have lost until Allah has afforded an opportunity and a chance to learn the deen, to practice. So it's not sufficient just to be able to, you know, to say, you know, I'm Muslim and not know how to pray. To say I'm Muslim and not know the rules for fasting, because we never implemented them. We've heard them before, but we never practiced them. So again, it is on the basis of these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again gives us the success in which Allah says is imminent for his way of life, for his deen, because again, he will make his deen superior over all of the other ways, over all other ways of life. He will make it dominate over all other ways of life. And again, even by the statistics that they give us, the proof of this is that it is happening. All praise is due to Allah. We lord him. We beseech help from him and ask his protection. We confide in him. We trust in him alone. And we seek protection against the evils and the mischief of our souls and from the bad results of our deeds. Whomsoever he guideth on the right path, none can misguide him. And whomsoever he declares misled, none can guide him into the right path. And we bear witness that none deserves to be worshipped but Allah. He is alone and has no partner. We bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. O servants of Allah, Allah be merciful unto you. Verily Allah commands you to act with justice, to confer benefit upon others, and to do good to others as one does to one's kindred. And forbiddeth evil which pertains to your own selves, and evils which affect others, and prohibits revolt against lawful authority. He warneth you that haply you may be mindful. You remember Allah, he too remembereth you. Call him, and he will make a response to your call. And verily, divine remembrance is the highest reward.